good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Lester Hayes this morning. And I want to welcome all of you this morning to the Creating a Prayer Culture for God this morning prayer line on this Monday morning, amen, April the 29th, one day after my 69th birthday. Thank all of you so much for your birthday wishes, your cards, your phone calls, your texts, all the communication wishing me a happy birthday, a blessed birthday. I just appreciate it, the gifts, everything. I just thank God for you this morning. You just made it very special, and I really do appreciate it. Don't want you to go unthanked for it, because it really made it special to know that there's someone out there that appreciates you, that thinks about you, that wants the best for you. Beautiful feeling, amen. So I really do appreciate it. Don't take it for granted. But I love you all, and I just thank you for it, amen. You made it very special for me and my wife, you know, and so we thank God for that. All right, then, well, praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning on the Creating a Prayer Culture for God this morning, amen, amen. Want to talk just a little bit this morning, after we pray from a thought this morning on the Creating a Prayer Culture for God this morning. I'm going to be talking a little bit out of the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, just a couple of verses here where Peter is writing here, Paul is writing here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and he's kind of talking about, duties. I love Paul's writing because I believe if you fix the leadership in the church, if you fix the leadership in anything, the church, government, if that leadership is right, if the leadership is straight, then we don't have to worry about the flock, amen, because so go the leaders, so go the flock, you know. Some people think so go the flock, so go the leaders. It's like that in a lot of places, you know, the flock running everything. And the leadership just trying to, they're trying to survive. They're trying to stay employed. They're trying to stay in the position where they don't want to lose that income, that money. But, those are particular type leaders. And a lot of times it scripts us of people being content, because we start doing things driven by what we've been saying, greed, that getting something for everything I do. But if you really are a leader called and sent by God, or if you're saved, you're a member of the flock, then contentment is sort of like a natural state of mind. We've been talking a lot about that. If not, then greed becomes your master, wanting more, what I can get out of this, what's in it for me. And I love how Paul here addresses, how the church, how the followers of Christ, how the members of the body of Christ, and I feel like I'm addressing members of the body of Christ, and it may be local, it may be universal. Nevertheless, as members of the family of God, that qualifies you to call yourself a believer, a born-again believer, a Christian. So you have some inalienable rights that you're entitled to. Everybody have those rights, but everybody don't know they have those rights. And a lot of times it comes from lack of leadership teaching people what their rights are, And we got 66 books that have promises and benefits in there. And so many times there is people who go out. Sometimes they may be sent out, sometimes they're not. How do you know when someone is called of God and sent out to be a leader, to feed the flock, to handle the flock? Well, a lot of it has to do with what they say to people. And sometimes people are suffering, they're going through things, and, they come to the church, or they come to the people of God, and they come to someone who they think can get a prayer through, and they tell them what their problems are, they cry to them, they want help. And a lot of times, the first thing that some church folks do is invite them to church so they can come and hear a word, hopefully. And a lot of times that can be disastrous, because they'll come, and they may be dealing with a major financial crisis, and they come to church, and all of a sudden, you got the wrong leadership, and the focus becomes money, 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 prosperity, prosperity gospel, sowing a seed, Nothing about how I can, you know, learn how to deal with my frustration, deal with my problem. I'm suffering, I'm going through, you know, and people can pick up on that. They can pick up on, are you really the one that can help me, you know? And it's hard at that time for people to be content and sit there and listen to what you're saying, because obviously now the people, the children of this world are more wiser than the children of light. And sometimes we think just because the person got a problem, they're suffering, they're going through, that, you know, it's easier to lead them. It's easier because they need you. You don't need them. But see, that's not the case, you know? And so sometimes we take advantage of the situation because my agenda is, well, they in here, you know, and obviously they here because they think that, you know, we can help them. But Paul deals with this because he's dealing with how the church is supposed to function. When I say the church, I'm talking about from the pulpit to the parking lot or vice versa. You know, there's a certain way the whole organism, the whole organization is supposed to function. It shouldn't be you functioning one way, I'm functioning another way. But if everybody in there have learned how to be content with what they have and where they are until God of increase adds some more, because some of us planting, some of us watering, but God gives the increase, and the things I'm planting is not money, okay? It's the word of God. It's the word of God, which is the seed. But if I'm not content by planting the word or watering the word, then I'm denying God the opportunity to give increase, and not only in my life, but in the life of the church. You know, the church has to see itself as a whole. You know, not because I say so. No. My job is to represent God as a leader. Your job is to, you know, receive what God is sending for you. You're the flock. You're the one that's supposed to be fed. And if you're disgruntled, you're hurting, you're suffering, and you come to the church, then the first thing you ought to experience is the love of God. You know, and how do we know the love of God is there? When I'm telling you what does say the Lord and not what does say me, you know, the leader. I'm telling you, but to do that, I got to stay humble. I got to stay with the script that God gave me. I got to love the word so that it comes across when I'm giving it to you that I love the word. I'm content with the word myself. Why? I'm first partaker. It's working for me. You know, but Paul said that, you know, y'all know Paul said, you know my story. I suffered too. I used to be just like you. I was a chief sinner. So I had to have an experience that changed my life, and I had to learn therewith to be content myself. So now I'm writing to you. Now I'm sending it out to you. Why? It worked for me. When I partook of it, it did me good. So it's going to do you good. You know, Proverbs says it's going to do you good like a medicine. Why are you suffering? But we all have to be content with what we have until God gives some increase and gives us some more. And there is a lot of people that are hurting and suffering. So our duty, okay, and I say duties and responsibility as leaders and even as saved members of the church, we have an impact because I'm the one invited my suffering brother or sister. So I have a little bit of a duty and responsibility to them. But if I know that it's all about money, I always tell them before they come. Well, and I'm gonna tell you right now, they're gonna take up an offering. Sometimes we don't even think about that because we get so accustomed to that's what we do in church. You know, that's what we do in church. And some people don't come to church because they know people gonna beg for money. And some people will wait until after the offering is over. So you get all these different things because people are really suffering. And people sometimes, you know, they want help, they need help, but they don't know how to ask for help. They don't know where to turn to get help. Sometimes they turn to all the wrong places, wrong people, wrong things, you know, to try to get that suffering that they're going through resolved. They're stressing out about it, okay? And they want somebody to know they're stressing out about it, but they don't want to be taken advantage of, you know? And so let's look at let's pray and then get into this for a few minutes. Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor this morning. Thank you this morning, Lord God, for life, health, and strength. Thank you this morning, Lord, for allowing me to see another day, God, us to see another day, us together this morning. Because we want to be able, Lord God, to help those that need help out there. But we first want to be helped ourselves. We want to get ourselves in a position where we're healthy, we're better off, Lord God. We're not just going and saying we are, but we're actually living what we preach. We're living what we teach. And so, God, because we suffered, Lord God, for the gospel, the sake of the gospel. And you said, God, that anyone who tried to live godly would suffer persecution for your name's sake. And so, Father, we know that it was you that we called on when we had our times of suffering. It was you that we called on when we had our times, oh God, of pain, and we were going through things, God. But we looked to you, the author, finisher, and developer of our faith, and we called out to you. And you heard our prayer, and you answered it, God. And you're still showing us great and mighty things, oh God. So we give you praise, Lord, and honor, Lord God, that you have allowed us to be partakers of some things for Christ's sake. That, Lord God, it puts us in a better position to be able to help others, God, to absorb some of what they're going through, to bear some burdens of the weak, God. And so, Father, we see it as our duty and our responsibility to stand in the gap, to stand on the wall, to pray for others, God. This is why we join together on this creating a proud culture for God, because we know there are issues out there. We know there are hurting people out there. We know there are lost souls, backslidden souls. We know, God, that there's transgressors out there, and they just might come on this line, Lord God. And so we want to continue to be content, Lord God, in what we have, so that when people come, Lord God, they don't hear us being aggressive beggars. They don't hear us, God, telling them what they better do. They don't hear us saying, I know what you're going through, Lord, because all suffering is not the same, Lord God. And so, Father, we just want to be able to be instrumental in helping them, encouraging them. But, Lord, we too have to first be content and be partakers of that contentment, be partakers of that godly gain, Lord God, that we may gain souls. Paul said, I had to become as they are, that I might win some of them, that I might be able to pull some of them out of the fire. Because, Lord, we know, Lord God, hallelujah, that in this world we live in, there are going to be trials and tribulations. We hear about it every day, Lord God, rumors of wars. We hear about the tragedy. We hear about all the things that are causing people, Lord God, to suffer beyond measure, to suffer beyond, God, what a human being is able to bear, God, within themselves. But you told us, Lord God, that we are to encourage our brothers, encourage our sisters, pray for them, Lord God, and believe you for them, God. Stand in the gap for them, Lord, intercede for them. And so, God, that's what the creating of proud culture is all about, Lord God. As we grow in your grace, as we grow in your wisdom, as we grow in your knowledge, as we grow in understanding, God, that the world, God, we live in, God, Lord, is not our home, God. Father, our home, God, is to spend eternity with you, Lord God. And so, Father, it's that spiritual place that you went away to prepare for us. And you said you're coming back one day, that where you are, that we may be also. And God, you told us, you wouldn't have told us this, God, that you went away to prepare a mansion, God, if it wasn't true, God. So, Father, we believe this morning that you're coming back with a new heaven. You're coming back with a new earth. You're coming back with a new Jerusalem, oh God. And you're preparing us right now. So may we continue to be content in what we have as we wait on the Lord, as we wait on your return, as we encourage our brothers and sisters along the way, Lord God, as you continue to build us up in the Holy Scriptures, oh God, as we continue to build ourselves up, Lord God, our responsibility, fulfilling our responsibility, our obligation to build ourselves up, praying in our most holy faith, God, being content before you, Lord God, because you said, God, this is how we gain in a godly way, God. This is how, Lord God, we perfect the gift of Christ that is in us, God, by being content with what we have, learning how to be full, learning how to be hungry, Lord God, that when people encounter us, God, they notice that there's something about us, and we pray and hope that it's not us, but it's the Christ they see and recognize, Lord God, because we all suffer. We all go through things for Christ's sake, Lord God. Persecution, Lord God, if we try to live, God, it's going to be something that we can expect, God, but you said if you suffer with me, you shall reign with me. If you die for me, you shall live with me. And so, God, we want that gospel light to shine through us, God, even in times of trials, tribulation, that we run to your name, and we want to encourage others that there is a place that they can turn to, God, and find safety, Lord God, because you said the name of the Lord is our strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. Even in times of trouble, Lord God, you said, let not your heart be troubled. Believing, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there's many mansions. And God, we just thank and praise you, Lord God, all that we have a mansion that awaits us, God, as we work toward, Lord God, that soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, that we might forever be with the Lord. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but one thing we know for sure, we're not what we used to be, God. Suffering has conditioned some of us to trust you even the more. And God, so we thank you that all suffering don't have to be tragic. Suffering is a reality, God. But Father, we are praying for strength to be content in our seasons and times of suffering, Lord God. It is not an easy task. Paul said, I had to learn how to be content. So, Father, we're learning how to be content even in these times and seasons of suffering, and we want to pass this wisdom and knowledge on to others, Lord God. So, Father, strengthen us as your body of leadership. Strengthen us as a body of believers that we can be able to strengthen others, and that people will not forsake the assembling of themselves together as the matter of some is, as they see that day coming, Lord God. But they'll come, Lord God, to the place, God. They'll come to this prayer line. They'll come to the church. They'll come to the place seeking, Lord God, the help that they so need, Lord God. As we pray now for the suffering of this world, Lord God, we see so many right now that are suffering. They're dealing with things. They're suffering loss, God. They're suffering, God, at the hands of other believers. They're suffering at the hands of so-called leadership, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for them, God. We pray that people would get everything they need spiritually, everything they need physically, everything they need financially, everything they need emotionally, everything they need environmentally, everything they need socially, God, that they may be able to live and pursue, God, a life of happiness and peace and liberty, Lord God, and life, God, on this earth, God, until the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we all, Lord God, are going to have to stand and give an account of how we've lived our life, Lord God. No excuses, Lord God, at that time. So we're praying right now, God, for a relief of the suffering that's going on, God, in this world right now, God. We just give you praise, Lord, and honor for your divine help and intervention this morning. Oh, God, help us to be content, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us to speak those things that make for sound doctrine, that the people may be sound, and Lord God, in their conduct, in their action, and how they live their life, Lord God, that they may, God, have the best life possible while we on this earth, that they may have a better future, God, one that's free. You said, God, there's going to come a time when there will be no more crying, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more pain, God. And so be it, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4, the King James Bible, when that time comes, God, when all this will cease, God, and there'll be no more pain, suffering, or crying, no more tears, God. But we'll all have access, God, to the tree of life, God, that where those leaves are for the healing of the nation, God. Right now, Father, we have your word, God, that's given to us to help us during these times of suffering, God. So, Father, we pray this morning in the name of Jesus to be, God, those kinds of leaders, those kinds of believers, that household of faith, God, where people can come and be exalted, they can be encouraged, God. Not, God, come and be begged for money, God, and be begged, Lord God, to keep giving, giving, giving until there's nothing else to give, God. So, Father, we thank and praise you for it this morning. As we pray, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is your kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And our Holy Ghost, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So I was thinking this morning, you know, about what we've been talking about a lot, about contentment, you know, as a leader. You know, am I being content in my leadership? Am I being content? If people seeing contentment when they deal with me, when they hear me as a leader, I'm concerned because I know there are other leaders out there. Not that I'm comparing myself to them, but I'm comparing myself to, as we talked about yesterday, the examples in the Bible. And when I look at Paul, you know, the things that he suffered, my God, thorn in the flesh, you know. I suffer. I had brain surgery. I had cancer, type 2 diabetes. So all this sometimes can cause physical suffering. It can cause, you know, being a Christian, sometimes we think that we ain't never supposed to have anything wrong. We're never supposed to suffer, but that's not true. I've learned how to be content when I'm suffering, when I'm going through what I have. Amen. Because I have a relationship with God and I can turn to him. And so, you know, some leaders out there, they don't want to go through anything, you know, and some people don't want to go through anything. You know, I was just dealing with someone on the phone, and that's what we were talking about, you know, and I was encouraging them. And I told them, look, you have to understand where you're at is not where people are sometimes. And it's like, meeting people where they're at. Some people are at rock bottom. Amen. And we have to understand that everybody's not where we're at. Everybody might not end up where we're at. Some people think suffering is, you know, is godly. You know, well, if not suffering is godly, then your suffering might be godly too. Because the Bible said when a believer suffers, we suffer for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. So understand that. Is God getting the glory out of it? So we have to teach people that, you know, you should be just as content when there is no suffering as we are when we are suffering. The contentment does not change. But if we don't teach sound doctrine, that sound doctrine to tell someone that if you try to live godly, you will suffer persecution for his name's sake. So I was looking here, you know, as Paul was writing this letter here in the book of Peter was writing this letter here. And Peter went through some things too. A lot of it he fought on himself. But in the end, he was able to go and encourage people that at one point before he got saved and called into the ministry and baptized in the Holy Ghost and name got changed and the Lord told him to go feed his sheep because if he loved him and told him upon that rock he was going to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Peter was afraid of suffering. You know, Peter didn't want nobody to know he knew Christ. But the Lord told Peter, it's Satan at the door designed to sift you with wheat, not me. You know, not me. And no matter what he told Peter, it always stuck in the back of Peter's mind. You know, when trouble comes, we ought to have something in the back of our mind that the Holy Ghost can bring it back to the forefront. And I can start, you know, thinking beyond what that present situation is. So many times we see something and we get stuck there. And sometimes when people see suffering and they got problems, they got pain, and you talk to them and they constantly talking about the problem. They constantly talking about the problem. They constantly talking about the problem. And what we have to do who have been there, done that, we say got the head, got the t-shirt, we have to constantly be reinforcing the answer. Constantly reinforcing the answer. Constantly reinforcing the answer. Let me tell you how thin that line is. The worst thing we can do, and I just spoke this to a person yesterday on the phone when we were dealing with a situation, a lot of suffering involved. And this person happened to be a Christian that called me. We were talking about it. And I told them, never tell a person you know what they're going through. That's one of the critical mistakes. Because their suffering might not be, it might not rise to the level of what you suffered last year or last week. So never get in that business. That's not the answer. I know what you're going through. What you can tell them is God knows. And let's just take this to God in prayer, you know, and then pray with them. Don't get into telling, because sometimes that person is thinking, ain't no way you can know what I'm going through. You know, and it's not unless you are them. So don't even engage with that. Don't even say that. Just kind of go to the answer. Say, God knows, you know. And then try to get the thing before the petition before God as quick as possible. You know, because they're hurting. And in the prayer, if they allow you to pray with them, in the prayer, you can petition God for his divine intervention, his divine help, you know. Because sometimes that is the only way that problem's going to get solved. And I want to be the catalyst where, yes, I don't have to tell them how I suffered. You know, I want to give them God's word of my testimony, not my word of my testimony. They're not ready for that yet. They need something a little bit more than that. And sometimes we spend the next 5 minutes talking about all I went through, all my suffering. You know, I got to get them up out the pit first. I got to get them up out of the hurting. I got to instill some hope in them. You know, that should be the first thing and foremost right there. You know, God got the answer. Brother, sister, God loves you. You know, God ain't going to put no more on you. But matter of fact, right now, let's pray. Do you believe God can solve this problem? Okay, well, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. I want to get them out of that state of mind. Because sometimes if you're suffering physically, sometimes people will be suffering mentally too. So if we can get their mind changed, if we can get them to be persuaded in their mind, if we can get them thinking differently, you know, but I got to give them some substance. I got to give them some hope. I got to give them some words, you know, wow, that word, Paul said, that is the power of God and the salvation. But how can they believe that if they don't hear that? You know, we know they're suffering, but I'm not going to tell them I know what you're going through. I'm just going to tell them God sees it. God knows, you know, God can help you. You know, I can go as far as say, well, he helped me. As far as I need to go right then. Right now, I need to get them thinking different. Because if I don't, we're going to spend 30 minutes just talking about what the problem, what they're going through, what they're going through. Well, God already know everything anyway, so I don't have to have them sit there and tell me every detail. Some folks love to know other folk business. But I got to get them to understand God know what you're going through. I will never know, but God knows. And he ain't going to put no more on you. So look at what Paul says here in the book of 1 Peter chapter. I mean, he's saying Paul, but Peter says here in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at verse 2 and 3. He says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so this is what he's saying here. The result for me doing that, putting God first in their situation, because if he's first in my situation, I'm going to be content knowing that God, you know, he's in the situation whether people acknowledge him as being there or not, okay? Whether they acknowledge him as being there or not, you know, he is in every, God is omnipresent. There's no place I'm going to be, they're going to be, that God is not there. But a lot of times if people not able to acknowledge God, then if I'm there, I have to acknowledge God for them. That's kind of like how you bear their burden. But if I'm so caught up in what they're going through, I might lose I might lose being content. And so when I'm speaking, what am I going to speak to them? That which makes a sound out. I don't want to put their hope in me. So many times we want to get the credit for helping them. No. God gets the glory. You know, and Peter had to get to that place where he could help people. But how did Peter have to get that place? Peter had to get some help for himself. You know, and so since we've been helped, we have the responsibility, the innate responsibility to help others. But we don't have to go tell them, you know, that we're going to help them. We want them to know that God helped us and God will help them. No respect to person. You know, and sometimes that line is so thin because we want them to know that I get you. You know what I'm saying? But don't have to tell them that. You know, I want them to see God as the source of help, and that's where the contentment comes in for me as a leader. In other words, keep cool, pal. Just stay cool. You know, sometimes folks, man, just get so worked up. You know, when people are going through. You know, we want to cut the head open and put the Bible in their head, especially if it's a believer that's going through something, a difficult time, you know, or some suffering, you know. And it's not easy. It's a thin line because you want to help them. You want to get them out of it, you know. And a lot of times we just have to be cool. We have to keep a cool head, you know. We can't be, you know, all over the place when they came to me for help. You know, I've got to reckon that maybe God put me in this situation to be able to help people. You know, I believe that's part of our responsibility is to help people. You know, because people are hurting, and I'm here to tell you that the times we're living in, we're going to encounter a lot more people coming to us for help. You're going to get some phone calls. Let me locate that because we out there, y'all, on social media. People are reading what we posting. They're reading our prayers. Some of them may be subscribing, following us. They know about us. When I saw all that list of responses I got, when I put out there about my birthday and Carter's baptism, I mean, man, my stuff blew up, but it was all nice. stuff. So I said, man, the opposite, they've been listening. They've been reading. They've been following us. Just the content of the response. I said, these people wishing, they wishing good for this old guy. You know, amen, praise the Lord, you know. And that just lets you know, right, that somebody eat what you serve, you know. And we, you all know what we serve in the Word of God. Because, you know, if people are hurting out there. They want something. They need something. And we're pushing Christ. We're pushing that sound doctrine. We're speaking things that make the sound doctrine. And it's helping people. But people are going through. They're turning. They're looking. They're searching. And so that's our duty and responsibility. And so contentment coming from us, the believers, the leaders, it is very spiritual. Might not sound like it. It's very spiritual. And that's what we want to do. We want to serve God in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
And that sound doctrine does that, you know? So, Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning, Lord God, for the word, God. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that we're able, Lord, to treat our godly contentment as something spiritual, God, that we can do, Lord God, to help people. Because we want them to not only be free physically, we want them to be free, God, from spiritually, from suffering, God, that they'll understand some suffering, God, is a spiritual thing. And we want people to understand that a lot of times, God, we suffer persecution for Christ's sake. It's not always, Lord God, because we did something wrong. It's just because of Christ's sake we suffer persecution, because we're trying to live godly. We're trying to be better in this life. We're trying to have the best life possible. And sometimes, God, that road that we travel, Lord God, it have pits in it, it have pitfalls in it. God, we meet people along this road, God, that sometimes, God, calls us to suffer, God. But, Father, we can just understand that there's a blessing in being content in what we have and what situation we find ourselves, to learn therewith, God. To learn therewith, God, how to be content, God, how to be full and how to be empty, how to be hungry, God, thirsty, Lord God, and at the same time, Lord, how to suffer things, God, for Christ's sake. So we thank you this morning, God, and we praise you this morning. Help us to help others, God, as they suffer, Lord God, along this journey, as they suffer, God, some without understanding why. We know you have the answer. You are the answer to all of our problems, all that we suffer, God. And so, Father, we just want to, God, do your will, God, to help people, Lord God, as they're going through, God. Put us in those situations. Then tell us what to say. Tell us what to do. Tell us how we can help them. Show us the way, God. Lead us and guide us, God. So we thank you, Father, and we praise you for the opportunity to serve, God, you and to serve others for Christ's sake in this dark hour that we live in. But there's so much suffering and pain that's going on. We want to be able to help people to fulfill our responsibility as Christians should. This is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this morning. Contentment is very spiritual, y'all. So let's continue to be spiritual, okay, and be content. All right, we're going to transition there this morning and open up the line for comments this morning. If you're on this morning, for comment, you have a comment this morning, we'll take it at this time. We'll start with our pastors. If you have a comment, and then we'll bring Pastor Sharon.
Unmuted.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Awesome teaching this morning, Pastor Lester. I mean, awesome teaching this. Can you hear me? Awesome teaching this morning, Pastor Lester. As Peter was just encouraging them to be responsible leaders, you know, just as the scriptures teach us, you know, just to be responsible leaders, caring leaders, you know, having that love of Jesus, you know, as he was just reminding them, amen. And even as you, again, as we've been talking about, you know, godly contentment, and I love how, you know, we encourage people that God will help them, that God will lead you. God is your source. And even here in the scriptures, when you was teaching with us this morning, he was just, again, reminding them to be just responsible servants. You know, we want to be servants that do right by God's people. So awesome teaching this morning. Awesome way to start a Monday morning. Amen. That's for me and Pastor Eric. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the teaching.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for the comment. We definitely appreciate it. As you look at 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and you began to read, and one thing I noticed in here, Peter is telling people, you know, really stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He talks to them. When you look at verse 3, he said, neither as being Lord over God's heritage. Know that your lane is not to be Lord over people. That's we're not right. here That's to right. rule people. We let God handle that. But what did God put me here to do? Number one, I know the spread of gospel.
Come on.
To love God's people and let them know. And that takes a lot of work. And that work is not trying to lord over people, but reading, studying the word,
right.
and giving the word to people, you know, and using it in my life. He goes on in here, he tells them, he says, it's to be an example.
Mm-hmm.
We need to live our life in such a way that we are an example. See, after you tell them not to lord over God's heritage, he said, but be an example to the flock. So we have to realize people are looking at us. But even before we get to that, we are doing what we do for the glory of God. God's already glorified, but we are an extension, living out what he's already done for us. So people can see that the same way we live our lives, the same way the people before us lived, godly life was through Christ Jesus. That's the only way we're going to do that. And so I think it's very important that everybody know where they're at in Christ Jesus and work on self and be that example for the next person. Because then here, if you keep on reading, he says in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elders. See, I got to realize there is somebody who already went through this before me. Instead of me trying to tell them what to do, I need to listen. I can learn from them. And this is what, you know, we realize that Jesus walked this walk before we did. We're learning from him.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep going and be that example for others. I just thank God for the word because it's so enlightening that we'll know how to live our everyday life. So yes. Pastor Lester, thank you so much for the teaching this morning. And I thank God for the word, Pastor Lester.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Peter, Pastor Eric, Pastor Sharon. Anyone else on this morning that have a comment this morning? We have wonderful examples to follow. You know, so it's a work for them and their generation, their day, it'll work for us today.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Star 6.
All right, then we'll praise the Lord. Thank you for being with us this morning. Be back again tomorrow morning, and we'll learn a little bit more about, you know, contentment is very spiritual. We want to be as spiritual as we can, you know. And the word helps us because it's spiritually discerned. All right, Dan, we'll take the word with you today. And just remember that people are suffering. You may encounter people. And please don't make the mistake to tell them you know what they're going through. Just point them to God. God knows, you know. And just encourage them. All right, Dan, well, God bless. And again, be blessed out there today. Be safe today. And take the word with you today. Hide in your heart that we might And just stay humble and walk in your contentment. Amen. And we'll see you back tomorrow morning, Lord willing. God bless. We love you all. And again, thank you all for my birthday wishes. Go encourage somebody today. People are hurting. They need encouragement. All right. That concludes the call this morning. God bless.
Love everyone.
That's pretty good. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems. It's proven to help prevent asthma attacks. It can reduce or even eliminate oral steroids. And doesn't that make things better? Dupixent can cause allergic...
morning, I felt like something was different, something was going on. It's almost now we think that you could tell something was wrong. Like maybe he was, I won't say afraid, but just probably regret seeing how he was. But he was still calm.
Yeah, yep. Hey, your mama rolling out here early, ain't she? I said she rolling out of here early.
I bet she put some of that trash out there.
Oh, okay.
That she said we couldn't really get in the trash cans.
About 5 minutes till. Jeans all this week.
Believe in God, hey, we
You're at 217 right now.
Yeah, I
approve.
Happy.